I don't want to welcome to the show Dr. Charles and Elaine Sanger, who are author advisors, authors, and publishers. They serve entrepreneurs, professionals, leaders, and people with a story they want to share with the world, which is so awesome. Okay. Through their Your Message programs, they guide people from being aspiring authors to accomplished authors. And they gave me three cool facts that I want to share with you. And I'm excited because the two of them, Charles and Elaine, worked together to form three companies together, which is so awesome. We're going to talk a little bit about that, I think. Charles Sanger has a doctorate in intercultural studies, which is really awesome. And that's from the Grace Theological Seminary. And he wrote a number one bestseller called Gilligan Meets Google.
Meets Google.
And so, and then they also left corporate America, corporate life, and lived on a 38-foot sailboat for 7 years. Wow. So welcome, Charles and Elaine. So excited to have you.
Thank you.
Well, we're so happy to be here, Jody, and to talk with your audience.
So this is awesome that, you know, when I was reading over your bio, reading over these topics of what we can talk about, I was like, you know, being an author, that would really impact a movement, right? Like, I'm creating a movement here about family culture, and I just, you know, this idea of writing a book that can reach a larger audience, that's inspiring to be able to do that. So how did you get into this field of teaching and coaching and supporting authors?
Accidentally.
Cool.
When we were living on our sailboat, we were also in the Caribbean, and we spent time working with tourist workers that were third world people over on the Dominican Republic. So we kind of split our time there. In 2008 or whatever it was, when the economy tanked here, costs went up there and we had to come back home. So I was finishing up my doctorate work then, and I realized that the dissertation that I'd written was just going to be set on the library shelf and gather dust.
Yeah.
So we decided to make it into a popular book, hence Gilligan Meets Google, and it's about the transitioning from the industrial to the digital age. And so I did that when we came back. Elaine went to work back for corporate. I focused on that, and we looked at other things we could do. But after I got done, several people came to us and said, oh, you wrote a book. Can you help me write a book? And we've always taken, when we get several requests to do something, that we probably ought to check into doing that. That could be a good opportunity for us. So we did. And I knew my experience from going through the self-publishing that I did with my book was horrible.
Yeah.
We spent thousands and thousands of dollars. We got no answers. We got promises that couldn't be kept. We got partial answers and just all kinds of stuff. And I said, well, if I'm going to help these people, we're not going to do it the way that it was done. My background is project management, high-end project management. I manage global projects for IT and that kind of stuff. So using my project management background, and we've always tended towards teaching. We've run part of our businesses. We're running training labs there. And so we combined that together and we created the program Publish Your Message.
Right.
And that's how we got into it. And our goal is to help. One of the things that I found I didn't do with my book was I had in the back of my head, like most authors do, I had an idea of what I wanted to get out of the book. But in publishing, nobody cares about the author. It's just about the book and where it can fit on the shelf. And, you know, how many books can you sell?
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
Uh-huh. But I realized that if I would have cared more about me, I could have done some small changes on my book that would have made it accomplish what I wanted it to do. Mm-hmm. So we're unique. And that's why we call ourselves author advisors, because it's not really about the book as much as it is about what the author wants to accomplish with the book. And that's what we try to work our authors towards, is understanding what they want to get out of it, get that dream out. And sometimes it's hard to do because they go, well, that's selfish. You know, my book's to help all the people of the world. But sometimes they feel that's selfish and it takes some drawing to get it out. But when we do, then we can create a book that's good for them, that's got great content, and it's going to be good for their audience.
Right, right.
Well, and I like what you say in your description here about one of the things that you like to accomplish in your author advising is to help people figure out what their core mission is. And, you know, part of my purpose and my mission with Family Culture is, you know, I want to help people to figure out their family mission, right? And so tell me a little bit more about that, how you serve authors and to help them to figure out what their core mission is so that they can live with more intention and deliberateness in what they're writing and in their careers.
That's a huge problem we found. When I was going to these workshops and seminars about writing, and then we went to some about speaking, and we were starting to sense that people didn't really have a core message. They didn't have content, a lot of them, probably well over 50%. And so after we started sensing this, I was talking to some of the writing coaches and some of the speaking coaches that we were dealing with, and they said, oh, 50% is probably a low number. It's probably more over that. So we help them understand that it's not about the book. It's about who they are. And we call it your message. That goes back a lot into my theology background, but that comes from some Greek ideas where your message is not just about the words you speak or not just about what you write on the paper. It's who you are. Yeah. And last year, we're primarily nonfiction, but last year we started dealing with some fiction stuff and we started going to some of these fiction shows. And I started finding out that these fiction writers, the really good ones, their protagonist, their main character they were writing was reflecting their message. That's what they wanted to get across to the world. So I'm going, that's what we need to be getting across to our authors, is that book needs to be about you. You need to have enough passion behind that book that it's going to be something you're going to give your life to, not only to write it, but for several years afterwards to get that book going.
Yeah, and I'll give you a little preview, okay? We are co-authoring a book right now. In fact, we've been working on it heavily this week. It's about finding your message, all right? So that book, and we'll have a program that will be released in December. So because we found so many people that don't know what that message is, we're developing a way to help people with that. Wow. So we'll have to maybe come back on your show later.
Yeah. Talk about that. Well, that's so important because, you know, I think that, like I mentioned before we started talking and recording, was, you know, that so many people, they hear the word mission and they think, oh yeah, businesses need that. And if you're writing a book and starting a program, you should know your mission. But when I say, but your family needs a mission, they kind of scratch their heads going, really? And so I think that would be really neat. You know, it's awesome whenever people, like in my experience, whenever I go through some kind of like personal development program or something that I learn an entrepreneurial skill, I translate that back to my family and I apply it to what I'm doing to raise a healthy, resilient family. And so, you know, it's great to hear that this kind of a program is something that somebody could do and learn multiple skills on how to not just be successful in their career or writing a book, but also it translates into how they interact with their families.
Well, as a couple, we love to work together, and our message, our mission is to help other people get to develop that and get that out into a book in a format and develop that content. So as far as family mission, our work life and our personal life is about serving those other people to help them. So we're very mission driven as a couple, and we always have been. So,
and yeah, when we look at mission, it's not just, even if we're helping an entrepreneur, it's not just about their business. It's about what do you want to accomplish in life? Business is just part of our life. Okay.
Yeah.
So our families are part, our individual lives are part. If we're not right individually, our families aren't going to work right. So we got to pay attention to us as individuals.
Right.
Then Elaine and I believe that we need to have a mission that kind of needs to be structured enough that when we get into our mission together, it's fulfilling both of our individual missions. And that's the way it works with us.
Yeah.
And
wow.
If we get into something where it's not going to fulfill both missions, then it's time to reexamine. Is that where we really belong? Because we believe we belong as a couple. If we're a couple, if we're married together, then we need to be going in the same direction.
Yeah, yeah. And we've gotten to a point where we know each other's strengths and what we both bring to the table. So we fit together now. And the two sides of us, what we both do really well, blends into something like, you know, it's God made us unique and put us together to create something even bigger and better. All right.
She loves to be on the phone and social media, and I could do without that for most of my life. Just give me some books.
That's why I contacted you, Jody. So yeah, it's really into research and development. If you were in my, right now I'm in Charles's office. If you were in my office, you'd see color wheels and artistic things and marketing things and things like that. So we know each other's strengths, and we don't even say that, well, that's your job and that's your job. We just know it. It goes back to even being on the sailboat. Oh, can I tell a quick sailing story?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I want to go deeper into this, well, this topic.
I'm sorry, we're just talking a lot.
Good.
When we were on the sailboat, I had to learn to sail. I didn't know how to sail. Charles was a sailor. But we got to a point where whenever we went to anchor in a harbor or in a cove or even a dock, we never had to speak to each other. We would just look at each other and knew each other's job. There was never, you know, sometimes you see people pull up in boats or whatever, and they're screaming at each other, do this and do that. We never had to do that anymore. All we would do is do a little hand signal, stop, go. And we would peacefully pull out or do anything underway or in a docking situation, because we knew each other's roles so well, and we depended on each other enough and trusted each other enough to fulfill their roles. Now, we take that in business as well. There are certain things, Charles, I won't even ask him, what do you think about this? Because he knows I'm gonna do the best I can, and I know he's gonna do the best he can. And we don't have to say, well, you do this and you do that. We just know it.
And we know our roles. And I think that that enters into our communication, because if we're in my area, I will tend to be more authoritative.
Yes.
And if we're in Elaine's role, she'll tend to be more class A. Okay. But if she's talking to me, she'll be more of a question. Or if I'm talking to her in her role, I'll be more of a question. Or do you think, or that kind of thing. I won't be as structured, and she won't be either. So that tends to keep the fighting down. Not that we don't have problems and disagreements sometimes, you know, we're a couple, we're two different people, but that tends to keep it down. And that's how we found we could communicate with each other, is by just understanding really where our roles are and kind of those boundaries within those roles.
Oh, I have one tip. Can I give you all a tip?
Yes, please.
Working together as a couple, all right, whether it's family matters or business or whatever, it's always great to have a third person. And that could be a piece of paper. If you look in our office here, we have a whole wall that's a whiteboard, all right, that we can draw things on. And a computer screen is also that third object. So instead of talking to each other about something, if you have it written down on a third thing, not just talking back and forth, it becomes an idea that's set over there that you both can confer about and talk about and draw and think about versus pointing fingers at each other. So having that third device is a great way to problem solve, because you've already started thinking and writing it out or drawing it.
Well, that is a really great tip. And I want to point out many of the other tips that you just told us about, because you talked about trust, you talked about communication, you talked about boundaries, you talked about just commitment. Yeah, Charles mentioned boundaries. Yes, because those are all things that are an important part of having that cohesive relationship that you have, that clarity and that trust. Like trust, I talk about trust as fuel in the vehicle of your family culture, right? Like if you don't have trust, then you don't have that forward motion. That's you're not going anywhere, you know, right? And so I love that you guys, you have figured out a framework that works for you of, you know, writing things down, talking things out, eye contact, trusting, you know, setting boundaries, you know, these kinds of things that have allowed your relationship to thrive. And I want to talk about this for another minute, because I want to hear a little bit more about your process of, you know, working together, building three companies together, and now authoring a book together and traveling for 7 years on a boat together or RVs and things. You know, what would you say was like the I don't know, the skill or the, you know, quality that you intentionally developed that helped you to keep that cohesive relationship? I mean, was it really just maybe even just a commitment that you had together that because, like you said, because you're married, well, we're together and this is how we do marriage? Or was there something else to it that allowed you to work together so well?
Well, the D word's not in our vocabulary, so that means we got to make it work out.
Yeah.
So the better we can make it work out, the better it is for both of us.
Yeah.
But I think it's also understanding and valuing each other and knowing that each of us have strengths that are different. And that gets into cultural stuff, because if we're with somebody that's different than us and their strengths are different than us, a lot of times we're not going to understand them. And they're going to misunderstand us and vice versa. Well, we've learned to, that's where your trust comes in that you talked about. And I liked what you said. That's the fuel. That's the cohesiveness that holds us together, because it is, because if I'm in my strength and I'm doing my strength, or if Elaine's in hers, I got to trust that she knows what she's doing and let her do it and not question her. And, you know, we get in a fight, we stall each other. We don't move forward when all that's happening. And then we get all this negative stuff that really slows us down. So we learn to trust each other to do what we're best at.
And I'd like to add one more thing. We're very committed people of faith. You know, we believe God put us together. We believe we're on the planet at this time to serve different people in different ways. So I think that that's part of it, that valuing and that trusting. So that's at the core of who we are.
I love it. So you just figure out what each other's strengths are. You figure out, and I like that you say you just trust each other, because, you know, so many times I think we have a tendency as couples to like judge what our spouse is doing and want to jump in and go, that's not right. Or that's not how I would do it. Or that, you know, things like that. And that creates some animosity, that creates some gaps in your relationship and in the trust. And so I like that you said that you just trust each other, that you know each other so well that you just, you know, I'm not going to jump in and judge what they're doing because I trust what they're doing. And so that's a big deal is if we come in and come at our spouses with a negative judgment, then that immediately puts a wedge between our relationship. So I love that you have that. You don't have to worry about that.
One of the tendencies in our culture, I think, is to work on what we need to improve. We're always working on what's the worst area in our life and let's improve it. And we more come at a philosophy from what's the strength? Let's build the strength up. Because we can work on the worst area. It's probably never going to get close to our strengths. So if we maximize our strengths, that's what's going to push us ahead.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to make us shine through and accomplish the things we want to do.
I love that. That's real. That's that right there. Okay. Good. Thanks, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Focus on the bright spots. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's so good. So, but the last thing that I do want to talk about is how you talked about how you guys left corporate world, right? And that's something that my husband, Michael, and I, we relate to that. We are working on, you know, that's part of our mission, right? Is I want to support families who want to live intentionally. And if their corporate job is a nightmare, or if it's something that just does not align with their values, you know, I want to be able to help people to say, look, it's not the end of the world if you leave your job or you find something else or you figure out how to be entrepreneurial. So tell me a little bit more about your experience of leaving your job and taking, was it a big leap of faith? Was it scary, or was it something that you just knew without a doubt that was the right thing to do?
We've done it so many times.
Yeah. But it was a little scary. You know, we had decent corporate jobs. I was a project manager. She was high end Fortune, she was selling to Fortune 100 companies.
Yeah.
So we had pretty good incomes. And when you leave your job, we owned our home. We were debt free.
Yeah.
When you leave the job, all that money just shuts off. So it was a little scary to do that. And then we were investing in doing a transition. We sold the home and we lived on a sailboat. And in conjunction with that, we ran a ministry with tourist workers in the Dominican Republic. And that cost us money. So we were investing those kind of things. And even though we had some funds that we were raising, we were still investing a lot in that, but we felt better there than making lots of money. It's not always about the money. It's about how you feel in doing what you're doing. And some people in corporate that are making lots of money, they belong there. That's their passion. That's their life. But a lot of us, we could be making a lot of money and we could be just, you know, it's just, it's a pain to get up every morning. You don't want to do it. You don't want to go in and face the problems. You don't really like what you're doing. And there's different levels of frustration. Now, my frustration as a project manager, I love doing my projects, but it was frustrating for me because they were IT projects. And before we get the project done, they'd plan how they were replacing what we just did with the next thing. So there was no longevity in my thing. And that was very frustrating.
You were away.
And I was away a lot. I would leave on a Sunday night or a Monday morning and wouldn't come home until Friday evening or Saturday morning.
And sometimes he was international. So, you know, that separated us a lot. And we didn't want that type of lifestyle. We were together because we wanted to be together. And when we... this has happened multiple times. We look at corporate jobs as being when we build our kitties to do other things that we want to do.
That's a sailing term. Understand.
As a kitty, that's money, your purse.
Full-time live aboard sailors have to, every once in a while, they got to go work. And when we're working, we're building our kitty because all the money is going towards our next leg of our adventure. So that's called building our kitty.
But I know when we did, when we lived outside Chicago and we said we were going to leave and we gave away and sold everything, a lot of people distanced themselves from us. Our friends all of a sudden didn't want to be near us as much because we did something that was uncommon and it put some fear in them because we challenged them in a way. Now, a lot of people followed us because they were living through us vicariously. You know, instead of doing it themselves, they were just watching us and following us because of that. But, and a lot of people are afraid, you know, to make that break. So we understand it. We don't say bad things about people who don't, but we just felt our mission and what we were doing was more important. And we knew that life was only so short. And if we didn't break away and do what we really had to do in our hearts, we just have horrible nights and sleepless nights and feeling like we're not doing God's will.
Now, the other thing is we didn't just come in one morning and say, we're quitting work and we're moving aboard the sailboat and we're out of here, okay? We spent a long time preparing to do that. We spent a long time getting the boat ready. Learning some of the offshore stuff and navigation would have, and just a lot of time getting ready to do that and planning how we were going to do a ministry in the Dominican Republic. Actually, it turned out to be different than we thought, but we had some work we were going to do on the different islands with microenterprise and with people that were living in poverty. And we had that planned out before we left. So we don't recommend you just quit one day and decide you're going to do it. That's probably not a way to survive really well. But plan it out, and you know, we were putting our money aside to do that. So we were using our corporate jobs, those paychecks we got, we were using to get ready for the next step in life.
Yeah.
And the next step in life wasn't about climbing the corporate ladder.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So how did that impact your, you know, your identity? You know, so I think sometimes people are afraid to leave the corporate world because that is who they are. Right? Like that's who they've always identified as. And, you know, whenever you meet people anywhere, it's like the first question is, what do you do? You know? And so it's like, how did that change or how did you overcome that obstacle?
Go ahead.
Well, I was flying around a lot, going to the airport, living on expense account with my work. So I had withdrawal from being treated at that level of having an unlimited budget and eating wherever I wanted to and flying Admiral's Club and all that stuff. So I had some withdrawal from that. But
for project managers, it wasn't that case. Our project teams lived in the cheapest places they could find and ate at the greasiest spoons we could find.
And we found ourselves, you know, we're living on the sailboat. We're doing hard work. I mean, it's not easy. You are cleaning. You don't have a car when you get to an island to get food. You're huffing it. And, you're cleaning, you're doing manual labor. Everything is very different. But Jody, I want to say it wasn't as hard leaving as it was coming back into the United States. Most people who live abroad, when they come back, the re-entry, especially if you live in impoverished areas, like on the islands or wherever, you come back to the United States, the re-entry is the hardest because you're so used to going to a store and not having any butter. You're so used to there not being the wealth and abundance that we enjoy. And you come back to the United States and you're just...
Overwhelming.
It's hard. I can't tell you the number of times we walk in the grocery store, I'd walk out crying because it was so much food. Okay. So even though I grew up in that, living on the other side of that and coming back. So for us, it was more the re-entry than the leaving, Jody. Okay.
Wow.
And I think a key to that, Jody, is to know your identity. When I ended my project management career, the economy was going down, but there was a bunch of corporate downsizing and stuff going on. And I was a certified project manager. So I got asked to teach these managers. They were mid-level people. They were in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. They were getting laid off and they couldn't get a job because they didn't have these certificates. Okay. So I was asked to teach how to get the certificates. And I taught hundreds of these guys and gals. And I noticed that I had two kinds of people. I had the people that had their identity as being project managers. And they were depressed. They were frustrated. They just were not in a good state. But then I had those other people in the class that their identity was not being a project manager. Their identity was something else. It was in their family. It was in a hobby they did. It was in some passion they had about helping people or, you know, some service ministries that they were in. And they were a much different people. They were much further ahead. And that layoff to them didn't represent the severity and the trauma that it did for those whose identity was caught up in that job.
Wow. That's very profound and impactful. That idea in of itself that we need to have other things, right? We have to have another purpose. We have to have, I did another interview about this very topic about, having a purpose outside of our vocation or our occupation. And if when we find that core purpose, it doesn't change with our job. It doesn't change with our situation. You need to, make sure that whatever that purpose is, it's founded in something that's more lasting and more eternal, if I can say that, right? And so that's awesome that you guys were able to, it sounds like you had that. You have that idea, you had that mission of where you wanted to go, what you wanted to do, and the purpose that you guys had to fulfill, to serve, to help people, that it wasn't grounded or even anchored in your title. Yeah. So that's awesome. That's right there is really powerful. Weren't expecting you to talk about that today, right? Well, I really appreciate you guys being here and talking about this and just, it's such an important topic for me to talk about talking about our relationship as couples, talking about being able to break from the status quo and do hard, difficult things. And also, defining your core mission. And I love that you guys have turned being creative, writing as a means or a vehicle of helping people to define their core mission. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing. So you mentioned that you guys are writing a book that's coming out in December. Did you want to tell us a little bit about that or any other projects you guys are working on?
Well, it will be a book. Well, we're working on tons of projects.
Right.
We have a whole group of authors that we work with at a pretty in-depth level. That's our publisher message program. And then I do a lot of the work with our authors and helping them launch their books and the creative portion of it and the marketing. And that's our catapult your message. And we're going to put together a program called Monetize Your Message, which is about how to
basic entrepreneur skills.
Entrepreneur skills,
around
but
a
also
book. Yeah, sorry,
around the book and understanding how that all works. So this is going to be one of our, this is a cornerstone
What's the book we're coming
book.
Out with in
yeah,
December?
That's your message. And it's about discovering your message. And besides the book, we're launching a program, an online program as well. So we're doing the development of both the book and the program at the same time. And it's really a culmination of a lot of things we care deeply about. So we're really looking at this as a cornerstone book for us, and an important book in our life.
Right. And I think it'll be a good contribution to at least our world the way it is today.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Finding new. Yeah, absolutely. So where can we connect with you and find out more about your program?
Well, we have a website. It's called Your Message Central. We called it Central because we have all of our programs and things there. You can get a hold of us. We have a Facebook group, which is Author Entrepreneur Community. You can come into that. And we have a lot of little freebie things that you can, we have a little self-assessment and all kinds of things that we do. We're on a lot of different podcasts and we speak publicly quite a bit as well. So awesome. If you get on our Facebook page Author Entrepreneur Community. Also, we have our individual websites, charlessanger.com and elainesanger.com. We're two different people, but we come together and you'll find out more about us and everything links together. So
awesome. I'll make sure to include those in the show notes so that people can connect with you and make sure that they get that information. So thank you guys so much. I just appreciate what you guys are doing. I appreciate your values. I appreciate that you are creating good in this world of so much yuckiness and hate and conflict. So thank you guys so much for being part of my show and I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Well, Jody, thank you for the opportunity and we love what you're doing too.
Thank you again for tuning in to another amazing episode of Our Modern Heritage, the Home and Family Culture podcast with me, Jody Chafee. I'm so excited to have you here. And I wanted to let you know that there's even more amazing content inside of my Facebook group. It's called The Family Culture Hackers. Inside the group, I broadcast these episodes on Fridays before I publish them out as podcast episodes. So if you want a first look at each of these interviews, make sure you come and join the group. I'm also hosting events and masterclasses and coaching calls inside of the group. So make sure you come and request to join. Just come into Facebook and search Family Culture Hackers and you will be accepted into the group and we'll have a great time. Thank you so much for being here and for listening. And remember that if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.